Hey everybody, welcome to another segment of Tony's Show. And tonight, we are going to be multi-dimensional in ways you can't even begin to think. I've been getting so much dad in the last couple of days, I've had to actually try to cut down on what I want to talk about. Because there's been so much. Artificial intelligence, autonomous weapons array, all kinds of stuff. And so I got the links on the page. So if you, I would definitely tell you to share these links with everybody because we need to know everything. So we can't be just focused on truck convoys. That's important. That determines the fate of a nation. The World Economic Forum is trying to, in an insidious way, to take everybody's country over and take over their autonomy. People don't realize that what they're going to give up in order to get the exchange from the so-called, I don't know what you would call it, the moniker, their propagation, their propaganda machine, everyone's going to be well looked after. You're going to have your, you know, everybody's going to have, you know, everything they need. There will be no more poverty. Everybody will have what they'll food and everybody will have. It's all bullshit. Even if they cut the population down to 1 billion, nobody's going to have everything that they need. It's impossible to satisfy that need. It's impossible. What they want is a controlled group of people that will accept their lot in life. No more ambition, no more desire, no more wanting to have a better life. That's just a foregone conclusion. What they want is to dictate to you what they think is good for you, what they think is the right choice for you. In other words, why not just turn you into a fucking robot? Because that's what their agenda is all about. These injections are designed to, again, further integrate you into a, not an autonomous machine, but a machine connected to a more powerful machine. The days of Noah. One mind, one language. That's what this is. One mind, one language. That's an operating system. That's a program that's taken over men and women to tell them and dictate to them their operating directions, operational directions for the day. You don't even have to communicate verbally because the operation systems are transferred now into everybody's head. Everybody knows what they have to do. So they just go and do it, and they do it in a coordinated way because they are following a program, a system of operations that are now implemented into everybody's program. So now everybody knows what to do, just like a well-oiled machine. You punch in the syntax, you punch in the code, and away you go. That's what they have determined for us and calling it a life. They want to control all the resources. They want to patent all the land, patent all the trees, patent all the seeds, patent everything there is to be patented on this planet. If you got a cat, a dog, if it has had any kind of hybridization, if it has had any kind of genetic manipulation, if it's had any kind of even just plain genetics. Imagine taking the seed of a dog and the egg of a dog, or a seed of a cat and the seed of a female cat, and patenting that seed and that egg. Imagine having to have integrated this combination of seed and egg and then putting it in deep freeze so that when they're ready to engage the transformation from a base protein to a full-blown life form, they now have full control and ownership of that genetic code. That's what they want. You will not have anything at all. The idea of, not, you know, you'll have nothing and be happy because you'll be in a state of oblivion. You'll be in an operating system, basically following your orders, for lack of a better term, and you will fulfill whatever they tell you that you want to fulfill. Tonight I got a bunch of videos here, and I want to start off with a bunch of them because there's a lot there tonight. I don't know if I'll be able to get through all. I try to keep the shows within an hour and 10 minutes, so, because I know after that it can get pretty taxing. So I want to start off with certain things. I'm going to see if I can get everything going. See what this is here. Oh, no, this is something else. Okay. Okay, I don't know whether to go with the Trudeau scandal or, let me see here. What's going on here? Let's see what's happening here. I'm just trying to go through. I had these things all set up, but as per usual, things get combobulated here. Well, let's start with the seizures in Alberta, or not Alberta, in Ottawa. The Ottawa Police Force violated the Charter and the Constitution and the Bill of Rights of Canadians by stealing from them their resources in order to stay warm and healthy, which is by right they're able to do. Because the mayor of the city decided to declare, the Emergency Act. There is nothing going on in there. The truckers are there. They're not going anywhere. And I think the mayor of that city needs to give himself a wake-up call. Give your head a shake. You ain't going to change. You have no power over these drivers. If these truck drivers seriously wanted to create major mayhem in the city of Ottawa, it would be burned to the ground. It would be torched to the fucking ground. There's no way the law enforcement, even if you bring in your riot police, even if you bring in the Canadian military, that city would be scorched. There'd be nothing left. If these guys were really violent, like they're trying to make them to be, and they're trying to create a violent scenario with these drivers, depicting them as crazy drivers, Ottawa would be nothing left but ash. There's no way in the world you'd be able to stop it. And I think every major city better understand something. Be grateful that the truck drivers have maintained a certain civility. And be grateful that this is a peaceful protest, because if this had been a violent one, your city would be in ashes. That's the reality. You don't have the police force in this country to stop what's going on right now. And it's going to expand. And I think you need to understand that it's because people love this country as much as they love this country. They haven't acted in a violent way. I would suggest you don't provoke it. Don't bring in your little bullshit Antifa. Don't bring that, which again is nothing but a shit disturbing organization that, again, the Mounties. Do we have any Mounties? Do we have any RCMP that actually know what to do to protect the common person in Canada? They haven't removed those people that have pitched tents in Queen's Park, have they? They haven't arrested a prime minister that has had at least 5 scandals now, this one being the 5th one. They have basically been sitting there trying to force truck drivers in Alberta to open the road and commanding them, thinking that they have some sort of authority over anybody. They don't. You work for us. Remember that. You may have sworn an oath to the Queen, but we pay your wages. Think about that for 1 minute. And then there was an RCMP that came out there and was reading the Riot Act about how the RCMP is no longer doing its job. Well, I've been saying that for how long? They haven't arrested the Prime Minister. They should have had him in jail by now. He's not going. And they know where he is. They know where he's hiding. If they don't know where he's hiding, they don't know where he is, then something's wrong with the police force here, don't you think? Or the RCMP's ability to do any real detective work. Just a thought. So anyway, I'm going to present this because the police are now the ones instigating the assault. What would possess them to do this? Makes no sense to me. They want the truck drivers to start something. You know, you ever throw a match in alcohol or gasoline or something that's really flammable, like butane? It starts off with a poof, and it can burn for as long as you have the fuel going on. My suggestion to the mayor of Ottawa and the mayor of Windsor, because now we have a convoy here in Windsor. We have a convoy, yeah. I would suggest you deal with this in a very peaceful and civil manner. Not a threat. It's just a statement of fact. You don't have what it takes to stop this, because this is now countrywide. So my suggestion would be to be civil, sustain civility. We are in a fucking winter here. You don't need to deny the truck drivers their fuel to keep themselves warm. That's a basic right in this country, to have the things you need. And we need to kick out the World Economic Forum. We need to get rid of that shit out of this country. We can see the benefit of having the World Economic Forum. We got a fucking idiot in Ottawa. We got a child running this country who's being puppeted by Klaus and the rest of them. We got a change of the guard with the Conservative Party, well overdue. O'Toole is nothing but a kiss-ass for Trudeau. He, too, is part of the World Economic Forum. I'm sure if you do a little digging, you're going to find some direct connections to Klaus and the rest of them. That's why we had no opposition in this country. I like Paul Bear and I like Bergman. I like them both, actually. I think if you had one as a leader of the party and the other one as the deputy leader, I think you couldn't go wrong. They'll go after it. From what I've seen, now again, it may be staged. It's possible. They'll go after the Liberals, and they will force them to deal with the things they need to deal with as they should have been as elective officials. Why anybody would vote for the Liberal Party in the future, or the NDP party, that jagmeat guy, saying, oh, we need to do something about the truck drivers. Yeah, we need to do something about the truck drivers. We need to quit delivering your food to your house. We need to quit delivering groceries to the stores you shop in. Maybe then you'll wake up and smell the diesel. That's my thinking. Let me see here. Where did I put it now? I had the video here. Now, where the hell did it go? Let's see. Let me do a little click and check to see what we got going on. I just had it. Here we go. All right, let me play this for you guys so you can see what's going on. There's a lot of shit going on in Ottawa, and I think everybody needs to. They even arrested a seven-year-old guy because he tooted his horn. Are you fucking kidding me? A seven-year-old guy. Then he started roughhousing this guy. This guy is 70 years old. He could have dropped dead of a heart attack because of the way the police officer was handling the situation. He didn't have to get all violent with the guy. Guy was pissed off at the police officer because the guy was violating his personal rights and freedoms. So let me play this. Hold on. So we can see what's happening in Ottawa.
So, in fact, yes, they are taking fuel right away from people as they attempt to fuel their vehicles. And people are surrounding the police, even though the police are actually being extremely calm and cool about kind of everything, except for they're taking fuel, I guess. But other than that, they're being pretty respectful to everyone, considering they just got surrounded in like 2 seconds.
All right, Dave, this is...
There you go. They're taking their fuel. Now, I heard today they had to give it back. I don't know if that's true or not. I haven't had a chance to really look at it. In regarding to what's going on, as far as that goes, let me see here what I got. Okay, that was the minister. I had these things set up, and they kind of popped out, so bear with me. No, I don't need that one. wrong one. So like I said, we're looking at some of the stuff, and we are, we're watching closely what's going on in regarding to some of the things that are happening right now. And we need to, like I said, realize that the a lot of shenanigans are going on. This is all intimidation crap, you know. It's just pure bullshit, most of it. And the police officers should have enough common sense to realize that they're being just bullshitted. You know, and this is all bullshit. And, And so, you know, we need to realize that this is the game. Now, until I find the other one, I'm going to play about the Trudeau scandals. Because, a friend of mine was saying, people are finally realizing this in drips and drops. And I said, well, we've been talking about this forever. So now I'm going to give you a faucet, a spigot opening with the Trudeau scandals. Give me one second. We'll let this play for a bit. Hang on. Because we need to understand.
For years now, Justin Trudeau has been a loyal lapdog to the communist Chinese. While the people of Canada ceremoniously came together to condemn the CCP's Uyghur genocide, Trudeau's cabinet sent a single member on a Zoom call to officially abstain. When the president of Taiwan was set to be honored by the Halifax International Security Forum for standing strong against China's relentless pressure, the Trudeau administration threatened to end their funding if they went through with it. Trudeau invited the communist Chinese military to conduct winter training in Canada in 2019, less than 200 miles from the U.S. border in upstate New York. The head of the Canadian military caught wind of it from the U.S. Pentagon and called it off, which upset Trudeau, whose chief concern was offending the CCP. Under Trudeau, Canada has been a big player in the COVID hoax. In early 2017, billionaire Barry Sherman, a huge supporter of Trudeau's Liberal Party, was under investigation for shady deals with Trudeau that could have resulted in his company, Apotex, the world's largest producer of hydroxychloroquine and Canada's biggest pharmaceutical company, being banned for 5 years from lobbying the government. Later that year, Sherman and his wife were found hung from railings around their indoor swimming pool, with markings from being beaten and tied by their wrists. It was officially ruled a suicide, and along with Sherman, the probe died. Apotex was able to continue doing business with Trudeau's government and went on to provide dangerous drugs as part of their ventilator protocol. And it was at the University of British Columbia where the lipid nanoparticles that make the mRNA shots possible were developed.
Justin Trudeau directly stands to gain currently from every shot that is given. Why? Because he has a financial interest in the patenting of the lipid nanoparticle that delivers your mRNA technology. It was developed at the University of British Columbia. And he has ordered, according to records, 10 times more of these vials, injections, than Canadian citizens, okay? And so this is what it is, Stu. It's a cult of money. It's a criminal conspiracy to wipe the world of the economy and enslave human beings, and it's really coming out more and more.
Trudeau is a natural-born tyrant. After less than 30,000 deaths, 0.07% of the population, Justin Trudeau has announced that all federal employees and everyone 12 or older traveling on planes, trains, and cruise ships need to be fully vaccinated. Testing negative will no longer be an option.
Testing will no longer be an option. These travel measures, along with mandatory vaccination for federal employees, are some of the strongest in the world. Because when it comes to keeping you and your family safe, when it comes to avoiding lockdowns for everyone, This is no time for half measures.
In Ontario, elected Representative Rick Nichols refused.
But under no circumstances will I, nor should any Ontarian, be forced or coerced to do something against their will.
And was fired. Under new health orders in Saskatchewan, the government may now enter into any building on any land without a warrant and seize property. And they are building isolation centers. Trudeau's government, like most governments in the West, is dragging their people into a hellish reality of forced experimental drugs and a social credit score to police every movement they make for the rest of their lives. The same reality coming to you and your family, so long as humanity does nothing to stop it. The purpose of fear is to call us into action, and there is plenty to be afraid of today. Half the population has lined up for an untested, deadly, and debilitating experimental injection because they were told to be afraid of an invisible asymptomatic disease. The perpetrators of all this have clearly stated their goal of having 80% of the population hooked up to an artificial intelligence hive mind in less than 9 years.
Regardless of the fact that we are attacking your fundamental rights or limiting your fundamental rights, and the Charter says that wrong, we're still going to go ahead and do with it. It's basically a loophole that allows a majority to override fundamental rights of a minority.
The level of admiration I actually have for China, because their basic dictatorship.
Like millions of us must be feeling worldwide, economist Ernest Wolf believes a hidden alliance of political and corporate leaders are exploiting the COVID-19 pandemic with the goal of crashing their economies and making way for a global digital currency. Wolf has been researching the history of Klaus Schwab and the World Economic Forum and has found a very fundamental piece of their criminal puzzle. The Young Global Leaders School, established and managed by Klaus Schwab. The World Economic Forum, originally called the European Management Forum, brought together 31 nations at its very first meeting in 1971 and is currently funded by 1,000 multinational corporations. Klaus Schwab hadn't really accomplished much in economics. His father made weapons for the Nazis, and he trained under Henry Kissinger at the Harvard Business School, which is where he was likely tapped to be the face of the World Economic Forum. In 1992, Schwab established the Global Leaders for Tomorrow School, which was re-established as the Young Global Leaders in 2004. Attendees must officially apply for admission and be selected. Alumni of the school's very first class include Angela Merkel, Nicolas Sarkozy, and Tony Blair. Other attendees include Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, Jacinda Ardern.
So long as there's people who are eligible who haven't been vaccinated, we've got work to do. You know, I don't think I'll ever be satisfied so long as there's someone who's who is eligible and hasn't been. And that's where I've said this, there's not going to be an end point to this vaccination program.
President of France, Emmanuel Macron. Governor of California, Gavin Newsom.
That's why we recognize our responsibility to do more, and that's what we are announcing here today. A statewide requirement for in-person instruction for all of our children to add to a well-established list that currently includes 10 vaccinations and well-established rules and regulations that have been advanced by the legislature for decades to add to that list the vaccination.
U.S. Secretary of Transportation Pete Buttigieg. Other attendees of the Young Global Leaders include Virgin's Richard Branson, the Clinton Foundation's Chelsea Clinton, and BlackRock's Larry Fink. Approximately 1,300 global leaders have attended the school from North America, Asia, Africa, and South America, most of whom are all pushing the same criminal hoax, the lockdowns, and the deadly experimental jabs. These are the foot soldiers bringing about the angry world that Klaus Schwab talked about.
I don't know how it will play out in November, but what we know is that we will end up with many more unemployed, and particularly also people in the gray economy, which are not counted for, who lose their jobs. So we will see definitively a lot of anger already now, but probably increase by the end of the year, because this crisis will be with us until we really have found a remedy. So we have to prepare for a more angry world.
So that his masters can bring about their one world government system. And in 2012, Klaus Schwab began the Global Shapers Community, which has groomed an army of 10,000 young people to be the next group of saboteurs around the world, currently holding meetings in 400 cities worldwide.
And I have to say, when I mention now names like Mrs. Merkel, even Vladimir Putin and so on, they all have been young global leaders of the World Economic Forum. Mm-hmm. But what we are very proud of now, the young generation, like Prime Minister Trudeau, President of Argentina and so on, that we penetrate the cabinets. So yesterday I was at a reception for Prime Minister Trudeau, and I know that half of this cabinet, or even more, half of this cabinet are actually young global leaders of the World Economic Forum.
Building back better means getting support to the most vulnerable while maintaining our momentum on reaching the 2030 Agenda for Sustainable Development and the SDGs. Canada is here to listen and to help. This pandemic has provided an opportunity for a reset. This is our chance to accelerate our pre-pandemic efforts to reimagine economic systems that actually address global challenges like extreme poverty, inequality, and climate change.
It's so hard to be patient here with all of these lies. Okay. Yes, that is one question. Why are we buying oil from Saudi Arabia, Mr. Trudeau? Number two question. I just read a report from Ontario where you said Sharia law was compatible with Canadian values. I'm like, are you kidding me?
And then there's Omar Khadr. If Khadr lived on your street, he'd probably be the richest guy in your neighborhood. How did he make his money? Well, first he joined the Taliban. During a firefight with U.S. soldiers in Afghanistan in 2002, Khadr threw a grenade that killed a Delta Force medic named Christopher Spear. For that, he went to Guantanamo Bay. He later pleaded guilty to murder there. Lucky for Khadr, he was born a Canadian citizen. So after being released from Gitmo, he sued the government of Canada for his imprisonment. And here's the remarkable thing. Canada settled with him. This month, Justin Trudeau's government awarded Khadr more than $10 million and issued an official apology for being mean to him. Prime Minister Trudeau later conceded he had not bothered to talk to Christopher Spear's widow before any of this. Instead, he defended the settlement as a win for human rights. Michelle Rempel is a member of the Canadian Parliament, and she joins us tonight. Michelle, thanks a lot for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Is this a measure of the justness of Canada's society, do you think?
Well, first of all, you know, for your viewers here tonight, I want you to know that most Canadians are absolutely outraged about this. You know, they're outraged because of the payment itself, how the payment happened, and the fact that, you know, the way that it's happened has probably preempted and prevented Tapas Spear from seizing any of those assets. So,
right.
You know,
assets belonging to the father of this man, to Khadr's father.
That's correct. So, you know, I think while a lot of your viewers have just seen this statement, they should also know that most Canadians, I think, are quite outraged and quite disappointed by the state of affairs.
It doesn't seem just. I mean, there are probably a lot of people in Canada, including some who've probably been mistreated legitimately by the Canadian government, who could use $10.5 million. How did this guy get it?
Well, and the thing to recognize here is this was a settlement. This wasn't any sort of payment that was awarded by a Canadian court. This lawsuit that Mr. Khadr had filed was being litigated, and there was no court ruling, right? This is something that the government decided. And so what was disappointing for me as a legislator and many of my colleagues was that this decision happened after our House of Commons, which is, you know, similar to your Congress,
yes,
rose for the summer. So right now we're not sitting, right? We usually have an opportunity to ask questions like, why did this happen? What was the government's motivation? And that didn't happen. So I think that that's where there's a lot of concern about this particular decision,
yes,
that it's been made in a bit of a vacuum. And now we're just getting dribs and drabs.
So
of
why,
what's happened.
Why was it made? Why did the Prime Minister do
that? That's really a question for him. I think many Canadians would have preferred to have seen this play out in a court of law. The Prime Minister has said that this was done for some sort of, you know, financial reason to save money. But the reality is that this was a decision that was made by his government and not by a court of law. And I think that that's quite confusing and quite outrageous for many, many Canadians.
So there's an effort online in Canada to raise money for the family of...
That's right.
For Spear, Tabitha Spear, but also,
yes,
for the other soldier who was gravely
wounded.
That's
right. Spearkids.ca. I think that the last time I checked, there was close to $200,000 that had been raised by the Canadian public. And what you have to understand, too, that this is not like a partisan political issue. This is something that people who actually voted for this government are going, I'm not comfortable with this, right? You have to understand that Canada values, you know, the relationship that we have in terms of our men and women in uniform serving shoulder to shoulder with each other.
Right.
And I think that there's a lot of people that are just going, how did this happen and why? And again, that's a question for our Prime Minister to answer.
Why wouldn't he call the widow of Christopher Spear first?
Again, you know, I'm sure that's something that he should answer for, but I know that our former Prime Minister, Stephen Harper, has reached out to her. I can't imagine being her right now and listening to all of this coverage and having to have those wounds reopened. I think that we have to be cognizant about her and her, compassionate to her and her family in the first instance here. And then, you know, to me, that's at the core of Canadian outrage over this.
So, I mean, again, as long as we're passing out $10 million checks to people who say they've been wrong, this guy would not even be on the first 100 on that list. So you've got to wonder, was this a way of giving the finger to the United States?
I think that this should have played out in a court of law. You know, Mr. Cotter has a appeal to his conviction that's pending in your government. He's had this case in front of the Canadian government. This is a very serious situation all around. You know, there's our Supreme Court has said that his human rights were violated. To me, as a legislator, I want the judiciary to make a decision on this.
Yes.
And that's what hasn't happened here. And I want to be perfectly clear. I think that's where it's that sense of wrongness is coming from.
Right. Just let the king decide over summer vacation.
Well, we'll have to see.
Michelle Ruppel, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry. We're going to let her speak, and then we're
number three question, Mr. Trudeau.
Okay.
Is you've sold us out to globalism.
Okay.
You are not working for Canada. You are working for your globalist partners. I wonder how much they're paying you to betray Canada.
Okay.
What do we do with traitors in Canada, Mr. Trudeau? We used to hang them. Hang them for treason. And you're doing that very same thing to us now.
Okay.
We know what you're doing.
Okay.
Welcome everyone, I'm Spiro, thanks for tuning in. We've all heard the phrase, never let a good crisis go to waste. And I would say that applies...
That's our Prime Minister. We have a child running this country. And the reason why he was selected, he wasn't elected. He was selected. Let's get that shit straight. Canadians do not have a vote. Nor do Americans. We have the illusion of a vote. This guy doesn't have enough brain cells to create a spark, much less tie his shoe because they were Velcro. But he's easier to manage and to direct because he is such a child. And this is why, you know, now again, let's look at the terrorist situation. He got $10 million. But now, let's face it, he got the $10 million because he would have blown the lid off of what was really going on in that part of the world. So that basically was hush money. You know, when we get caught up in the media, oh, this Muslim terrorist, this Mossad terrorist, this Buddhist terrorist, this person this Sikh terrorist, this Black Lives Matter, that all that bullshit that you're seeing, these are all staged. These are all staged to create an emotional response so you're not thinking. Whatever happened over there in that part of the world at that time, and he killed a medic, okay? And so as a result, he got $10 million Canadian dollars. That was to shut him up. He probably had some data, some place, a kill switch, or so something happened, that information would have gotten blown wide open, and the world would have seen what was really going on in that scenario. And this is real. This is not spy shit. This is not television horseshit. This is the way it works. We all have this complacency thinking that our governments are beyond reproach. They're not. Every leader, every politician, every MP, every MPP, every congressman, every senator, every judge, pretty much all are basically doing the work of the devil. They are all in on it, pretty much. And the ones that aren't in on it are kept out of the loop. But when we start actually thinking of what's going on, and you start analyzing, the level and the depth of where we're at today, talking about the World Economic Forum that's going to come in and control all the resources of the planet, and even going to control your money. The United States is going to have an e-currency, an electronic currency, where everyone's going to have to use it. We are all going down to the beast system. The beast system was already engaged at the beginning of this COVID. The COVID they can't come out and say, we're going to, lead you down to the children of Belial. We're going to lead you down to the children of Moloch, children of Baal, and you're going to bow down and kiss their ass because that's what those demons want you to do. Can't do that. Got too many systems out there that would fight that tooth and nail. You'd never win. Christians would fight it. Hebrews would fight it. Muslims would fight it. Hindus would fight it. Sikhs would fight it. Buddhists would fight it. Natives, everybody would fight it. So now instead we got a pandemic. You got the boogeyman walking around. He's going to get you and you're going to die. Ooh, you got to get the shot. You got to get the injection. You got to get the program jabbed into you. You need 10 of them, maybe 20, maybe 30. Because the reason why they're creating these injections and the method they're doing is basically it's a filtering system. It's a filtering system. Those who meet the criteria get to live in the new world. New world in that new world order. Lucky you. I prefer to be dead, to be honest with you. And those of you who aren't deemed worthy based on the criteria that they have, well, the shot will kill you anyway. They don't care. I've been saying this forever. They don't give a shit about you. They don't give a shit about anything. I'll tell you what they give a shit about. They give a shit about being in power. They give a shit about acting like they are gods. They are not gods. If you put a bullet in their fucking head, they'll drop dead. If you cut them, they'll bleed. They are not gods. These are just men, or I wouldn't even call them men. These are creations that have this propensity of ego to actually deem themselves superior to everybody else because they have a piece of paper that has been declared some kind of value. I kind of wonder. Now think about this for 1 minute. They want to go into electronic money. Bill Gates is one of the richest guys on the planet. I forget, he's worth $100 and some odd billion. What happens when they digitize his money? He's going to be broke. You think he's going to go along with that? You actually think he's going to go along with it? How about Elon Musk? How about Bezos? How about Zuckerberg? Well, Zuckerberg, they're taking him out right now. You know, that metaverse is killing him. But think about that. Do you think for 1 minute that the Queen of England and the Pope of Rome and the presidents and premiers and chancellors of different countries that have a great deal of wealth that they've embezzled or have been bribed with are going to just surrender that wealth or that power or that position? You know, makes you go, Now imagine telling them, well, you'll own nothing and be happy. You'll get to eat the tofu like everybody else is going to be eating, or the bug protein, you know, the cockroach protein, and the grasshopper protein, and the protein of slugs. You're going to be able to eat that, and it's going to taste like steak. Yum, yum, give me that bug. Oh, tastes like beef. In a matter of 10, 20 years, nobody will know the difference. You know, you give them a piece of beef, they'll say beef, they'll say, wait, what is that? Where's my grasshopper? Grasshopper. Come, let me eat you. All right, we have another scandal going on. The police chief of Ottawa is a terrorist, really. He's a terrorist. And he's also part of the World Economic Forum as well. And we have in our country, we have traders in Canada that work for the World Economic Forum, which means they're going to strip Canadians, all of us, from pillar to post, top to bottom, and in between, any right or autonomy that we have today, including your bank accounts, which I'm telling you now, get your money out of the accounts as much as you can. Just keep whatever you need to keep your to pay your bills. But keep your cash out, buy some silver. These will be barterable. Small change like quarters, nickels, dimes, 50-cent pieces, silver dollar pieces will be worth. They'll be barterable. We're going to be heading into a bartering system. These are the things we're going to be using. You know, buy physical assets, as I've stated before, because, see, you can't control it. But, see, they may try to, you again, enforce a police state to come in and steal from you like they're doing the truck drivers now in Ottawa, the petrol or other resources that you have bought and built for yourself. They want fucking robots. That's what they want. They want yes men, yes women, yes sir, yes sir. How can I serve you, sir? Yes, sir, I will serve you well. Yes, yes, yes. There is no no and yes. Okay. That's what they're talking. That's what they want. This is what they're trying to perpetrate. You know, and those who took the jab, even they will be filtered out because a lot of them are going to be dead long before we get to the stage where they have taken everything over. If the agenda is by 2030, that means we only got about 8 years. 8 years before they basically either wipe us out or create a major disaster to kill the bulk of the population and save the remnant, a controlled remnant. Let me talk to you now about Saskatchewan. Saskatchewan is going to be free, I hope, Ford. You know, that premier we have, Ford, will grow a brain cell, you know, and that premier again, Ford. And have a look what's going on in Saskatchewan. Maybe he'll learn something, but I don't think Ford has the capacity to do so. He's supposed to be coming down to Windsor tomorrow to talk about an electric car. Fuck that. Everybody in Windsor needs to go to where he's going to go tomorrow and just barrage him with the questions, when are you going to lift the fucking mandates? When is this shit going to quit? And if he tries to avoid and duck the question, then maybe we need to take a ride on the wild side and go and do in Toronto what is being done in Ottawa. Imagine that. The central of Canada, you know, the governing body of Canada, and then the major industrial center of Canada being shut down. Oh, ho, ho. Imagine that. Nothing coming in, nothing going out. You know. And I still say, everybody that has profited, all the parliamentarians, all those in power, premiers and the MPs, the ministries of health, need to have their assets frozen, take those assets and distribute it to everybody in Ontario that lost their homes, lost their jobs, lost their businesses. Because, let's face it, you'll owe nothing and be happy. Well, we'll give them a head start. We'll let them lead the way. They are the leaders after all. They can lead the way in being, have nothing and be happy. Show us how that works. Let's see the way you roll. Okay, let me play this. This is about the Ottawa police chief. Again, another dipshit. Again, another guy they placed in the position because they thought he may be able to threaten the drivers. So let's see what is going on. Give me a second.
This is Peter Slowly, the acting Ottawa police chief. He is a World Economic Forum patsy, a former UN soldier special forces, and a former FBI academia graduate. See, the funny thing is that he resigned as police chief in Toronto in 2016, and most of the police association, including the police union head, were happy to see him go. No one liked him. Read here, when he was leaving, he was quoted as saying, "I have international networks of police brothers and sisters. I have contacts within the private sector. It's hard to keep saying no to some of this stuff." But he said he's in no rush to join another police force. It's a big world out there. And then in April, according to his Wikipedia page, he was hired by Deloitte. Do you know who Deloitte is? He did a consultation job, handling risk in foreign practice projects. Do you know who Deloitte is? Maybe this might give you an idea. So, when our Special Forces UN police chief has ties to Deloitte and Pfizer, and he's going out there robbing truckers of gasoline and arresting people under false pretenses, allegedly, you have to ask yourself, how legal is our police force? See, it's funny because Deloitte, guess what they do? They were accused, and the CDC was accused, of stealing, where is it, MSPP right here, their intellectual property for mass vaccination tracking and use in tracking vaccinations for COVID-19. And then the CDC awarded Deloitte a no-bid contract for $43.9 million. Even though Tate's attorney, which was a representative of MMPS, said that Deloitte's system has the identical structure, mirrors functionality, and duplicates the same features of MSPP system, pardon me. The reality is that officers stealing gasoline is a war crime from civilians. It's a war crime. You Ottawa police officers doing this, you will be charged with war crimes listening to your acting police chief. And I think it's everyone's responsibility knowing this information, especially coupled with the fact that Jim Watson got blackmailed by the World Economic Forum for that alleged encounter with a 17-year-old, which then led him to disclose his homosexuality, later setting ground for Pfizer to become a huge sponsor of the LGBTQ. Question everything and get loud. The mayor and the police chief, they gotta go.
Well, what do you know? What do you know? These guys got to go. I've been saying that forever. If we're going to make any serious changes in this country and get the country back on any real level, we need to remove those that are in power right now, get rid of them, get rid of anything connected to them, get rid of the World Economic Forum, drop that like a hot potato, get our economies back. If we can't trade with anybody, then we'll make our own shit. We should have been doing that anyway, not relying on China or any other country. And you never know, we may lead the way in the world to create a revolution of its own, where people can, you know, other countries decide that we want to be autonomous as well, and if there's any external influences, they need to leave. Lobbying groups were probably the worst thing that ever really happened as a whole. Okay, I want to bring up the Saskatchewan premier. He's dropping all the vaccine mandates. I'm hoping Ford has a brain cell functioning. I hope Ford cleans the wax out of his ears. I hope Ford, you know, understands English. You know, I hope the medical health department and the health ministries in Canada and Ontario, you know, also have a brain cell functioning. It's just, you know, it's been so long since I've seen any intelligence coming out of the government. I think it's almost, you know, wishful thinking. I don't think we'll ever see that again.
Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here this morning. Last September.
Jeez, this thing jumps right away. All right, let me start it over. All right, we're going to listen to this. Now, the Saskatchewan Premier is playing it safe. He's telling you about getting jabs, but he's also saying that the mandates are all going to go away. Now, there's reasons for that. It's not because they're doing that out of the kindness of the heart. They got 85% of the people in Saskatchewan having shots and boosters. That's why they're doing it. So it ain't going to matter whether you get the shot or not now, because there's a good chance that it can jump and infect you as well. This is why we showed you how to make the surge and purge, so that you can now be free of any potential problem that that this technology can offer. So let me let you listen to this guy. Sounds like a good news. It is good news to some level, but again, there's also innuendo there that indicates that this is a plan. This is a game. I don't want you to get all happy like we won something. We haven't won sweet fuck all. Nothing. They're still playing us. But you are now having the opportunities to get ready and get prepared to do whatever you think you need to do. So pay attention to this premiere. Hold on. Here we go.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us here this morning. Last September, during what was a very serious Delta wave in Saskatchewan, our government introduced a proof of vaccination requirement in a number of workplaces and public venues across the province. When we first introduced this policy, I would be the first to admit that I was reluctant to do so. I knew there would be much benefit from a policy such as this in the fight against COVID, and at that time, the Delta wave. But I also knew that that benefit would come with significant cost. I knew that this policy would create deep divisions in our families, in our friendship groups, in our province, and in communities across Saskatchewan. But people would potentially have different access or rights based on what their relative vaccination status would be. That is the result of that policy. So what was actually a pretty extraordinary step to take in this province effectively created two classes of citizens. To my knowledge, this province has never done anything like that before in our history for any vaccine or for any other reason for that matter. For a time, during that Delta wave, I do believe that the benefits of this policy most certainly did outweigh the costs. There were many more people that went out and got vaccinated, their first dose, their second dose, and ultimately, more recently, their third or booster dose. And COVID transmission was significantly reduced as we found our way through the Delta wave last fall. But today, as we deal with a very different strain, the Omicron variant, the benefits of this policy no longer outweigh the costs. Many more people today are vaccinated than they were prior to us putting that policy in September the 16th. 85% of those that are eligible in this province have received their first dose. 80% of those that are eligible have received their second shot and are now fully vaccinated. And nearly 50% of those eligible have also went out and received their booster dose. While vaccines are still widely available in Saskatchewan, and they will remain widely available across this province, lately vaccine uptake has slowed to some degree. And vaccination, as we know, is not preventing transmission of Omicron like it did with previous variants. And I will continue to encourage everyone and anyone that is eligible to go out and get vaccinated, your first, your second, and ultimately your booster dose, as vaccines most certainly do provide significant protection against serious illness from Omicron or any other variant. However, if someone makes a different choice about whether or not they are vaccinated, that's their right, and this government is going to respect that right. Today, With Omicron, the benefits of the proof of vaccination policy no longer outweigh the costs. This policy most certainly has run its course. So it's time for us to take a step back in living with COVID and to make every effort to get our lives back to normal. It's time for us also to heal the divisions in our communities over vaccination. Those divisions are in our families. They're in our communities, but they are across our province and they're across this nation. It's time for us to come together as families, as friends, as communities, and as a province and as a nation, and it's time for us to reach out and support one another. Let's not judge our neighbor because they may be vaccinated or because they may not be vaccinated. Let's not judge our neighbor if they should choose to wear a mask or not to choose to wear a mask in the weeks ahead. Whenever someone is doing their own personal risk assessment, which we have asked them to do in this province for a period of time now, they're doing that assessment for themselves, possibly for their family, and they may come back with a different decision than what you might arrive at. And that different conclusion, albeit maybe different from where you have landed, should not be judged. It should be respected, and it should be accepted. It's time for each of us as individuals now to make a conscious effort to treat everyone in our daily lives that we encounter equally. It's also time for the proof of vaccination mandate to end. So effective at midnight this Sunday, February the 13th, all provincial proof of vaccination requirements will end. In Saskatchewan businesses, in venues, and provincially regulated workplaces, this means that the proof of vaccination or the negative test option that we provided will no longer be a provincial requirement. Starting on Valentine's Day, February the 14th, this will be the case. This will leave one remaining COVID measure in place, and that is indoor masking. That measure remains in effect until the end of February. I want to thank all of the businesses and the venues and the workplaces who have shifted course throughout this pandemic to keep their employees and to keep their customers safe, and all of those who implemented and administered the proof of vaccination or proof of negative test policy over the course of the past few months. Thank you for doing your part in our fight against COVID. And again, I want to thank everyone who made this choice. It is a wise choice to ultimately go out and get vaccinated. You are keeping yourself safe. As we move into this next phase, the phase of now living with COVID, I would ask you to continue to make wise choices. This is paramount to our success. Go get your booster dose if you haven't already. Stay home if you're not feeling well. Do a rapid test from time to time. If you do test positive, we want you to stay at home for 5 days. But let's all, in the meantime, also get back to living our lives normally and doing the things that we all love to do. And let's all make that extra effort to be just a little more understanding of others when we may disagree. In fact, this may well be our largest challenge in getting our lives back to normal in our families, in our communities, in our friendship groups, and in our province. We must realize that it's okay for us to disagree. We do hold strong opinions in this province, and those are on full display often. But we can disagree without being disagreeable. Don't lose a friend to COVID. You might have to take some time apart, but keep that door open. Time and time again, Saskatchewan people have proven that we achieve great things when we come together and when we work together, and when we accept those who may have a different opinion than we do, and when we respect others' individual decisions. We are poised to lead this nation through COVID, and we are poised to lead the world in an economic recovery in this province.
So you've heard the Premier of Saskatchewan. That should have been from the word get-go. Whether you wanted to wear a mask, whether you wanted to put a diaper on your face, whether you wanted to get injected, whether you wanted to wear, to do whatever, whether you wanted to social distance or not. This has been all fake on every level. Nothing's out there. The main thing that's causing all these afflictions is basically frequency targeting. We have never identified this biomarker that was causing this. It never was ever identified. Never. I get phone calls all the time from all over the country, all over the world, people complaining about headaches, ringing of the ear, body aches, respiratory symptoms. This is all coming from the frequencies. They have used this as a means of a cover-up. All these different variants that came out there, all bullshit, all of it. What was happening was they were modulating the frequencies and creating the effect that they wanted to create. You can now, through a frequency, create a bioweapon without actually releasing the bioweapon. That's what we see. We can now produce the same effect as having a flu, as having pneumonia, as having any kind of symptomology that could be in a basic pathology induced by a protein. You can now create that protein in a person's body. You hear all the time that these guys have got these magical formulas that can stop the protein. The protein that keeps on making more protein. Total bullshit. All of it's total bullshit. Because it doesn't matter what you take. There isn't a herb out there that's going to stop any of this. Because all these guys are propagating herbs and vitamins to stop this activity are there to scam you money. They're using this to their full advantage. It's pure bullshit. If I hit you with a frequency, it's just like hitting you with a microwave. If I hit you long enough, you're going to feel sick. If I can now control the proteins in your body, if I can now control the cells in your body, if I can now control the lipids in your body, if I can now control the minerals in your body and any other thing in your body, the crystals that are in your system, I can now tell your system to manufacture anything I program it to do, and it will do it. Everybody is saturated with nanobiotech. Everybody. And with that nanobiotech, if you haven't seen what can be done with telepheresis, you may need to take a look, walk on the wild side. Because once these frequencies are activated, you can tell that program or that operating system to create whatever it is you want to create, because your body now has all the building block and raw material to construct these things inside of you. Had a guy today tell me he's going to use dandelion root because it stops the protein replication. Told me he was nuts. He was using the black goo bullshit. I mean, I couldn't believe what I was reading. The guy, complete idiocy. Black goo is nothing but a silica graphene component wrapped in a liposome. And this will be activated by any hydrogen or any frequency activation. This thing will just launch into this guy. Same with the carbon C60, same with all the other bullshit they've been selling. Everything they've been selling for the last 3 years has been designed so that when you put it in your body, these frequencies have something to anchor themselves to so they can create inside of you using these as building blocks, the silica, the carbon, graphene, the titanium borate, the thorium, the barium, the mercury, the lead, the aluminum, the calcium. These are all been designed. You've got them all in you, and they will now construct from those materials circuitries and networks throughout your body, integrating with your protein. The lipid nanoparticles that they were using to make these delivery in the vaccines were designed to go in every cell, every lipid that you have. There's no way you can get that out. I feel sorry for those who took the jab. You know, once it gets into the DNA, again, the proteomic nucleic acids that are there that split the protease and the polymerase that splits the DNA to allow any protein or anything really to fit inside of it becomes sealed and then activated on contact. There is no way you can stop that. But again, you got people gullible enough to believe the bullshit that's going on. And what cracks me up is they will not read. They will not research anything that's been put out there, that I put out there, or Brian. Yet they'll watch every freaking guru out there. They'll sell them whatever bullshit they want to sell. And I don't get mad. I don't even fight anymore. I just say, you know what? You need to go out and follow through on this. And I'll encourage you all to do the same thing. Don't write me that you're taking silica. Don't write me that you're taking, you know, carbon C60. Don't write to me telling me you're taking black goo supplements. I mean, if you're doing it, I think you're a fucking idiot. I'll tell you that straight out. Take your shit. Let the thing take you over in about 2 years, because it takes about that long. And by that time, it is so inundated in you that you'll be begging to die, literally. But I want you to continue with your research. Don't tell me you're taking this or that. You know, I've done the research. I've been at it for 13 years, you know, and as we had stated to this individual, Brian got the same email. We've been at it a hell of a lot longer than you have. We pretty much know more than any more. We probably forgot more than you're learning, and you're not learning from where you should be learning. And I'm not saying it as a braggadocio. I'm saying it as a fact. Nobody's done the work or the research as much as Brian or myself. So if you're not going to read our literature and you're going to follow everybody else's bullshit, please do so. I tell you, do so. But don't bother me. And when you collapse, because you will. And the reason I can say that confidently, because we have dealt with thousands of people in the course of 13 years. And a lot of people, we told them not to use the rife, not to use the spooky, not to use the tens or the zappers. They have, and eventually what wound up happening, the thing launched and it took over. And then they wrote us back saying, I'm dying. What are we going to do? Oh, please help me. I'm dying. I feel like shit. Oh, I can't think. I got brain fog. My body hurts. Oh, my joints hurt. My organs, I can't breathe. I can't think. Oh, you hear this all the time. Then when you ask them the question, what have you done? You know, what have you been doing? Well, I was using the rife, I used the spooky, I used the zapper, I used the ten, I used this device. I said, did you ever listen to what we told you about not doing it? Yeah, well, I listened, but I did it anyway. This is what I deal with. This is what I got to do. I have to patch up the screw-ups because they don't want to listen. So if you think your dandelion root is going to stop that rogue protein from replicating, carrot, knock yourself out. Don't tell me. I know it ain't going to work. You'll have some results because the liver may clear up some shit inside you, and the kidneys may clear up. So you may feel this placebo effect, and that's fine. You know, and if you're going to be using black goo, and you're going to be using carbon C60, and you're going to be using hydrogen. You're going to be using hydrogen supplementation. The hydrogen will split that graphene free of its bonds, and it will spread like wildfire through your system. But don't believe me. Carry on. Carry on with your experiments. You know, I'm telling you straight out. You know, I'm one of the few people out here that will tell it the way it is, how it is, and may tell it to you in a very salt-of-the-earth language, but I will tell you the truth. You will fuck yourself if you don't listen. Because all these guys out there, for the most part, will just sell you shit that isn't going to help you in the least. In fact, you'll be dead, they'll be rich. That's how it rolls. So anyway, I'm going to leave you on that note. There's a bunch of stuff I didn't cover tonight on the show. Nanoparticles give remote control of cells. Just talking about that a little bit. Tuning, self-assembling of mesocrystals crystals to do whatever. This goes along the line with what I just got done talking about. Okay, AI bots will care for embryos in artificial womb. Again, you know, I'm telling you these things because, again, and I'm backing it up. I am backing it up. So if you're not going to listen, please don't write me an email. Carry on with your experiment. Carry on with whatever you're going to do. Do not waste my time. I have more than enough people writing to me who are seriously, seriously having issues that I don't need to go through. You know, I go through about 300 emails plus, and I don't need to go through an email that's going to tell me that you're doing something ridiculous. You know, if you don't want to listen, don't. That's simple. Don't. You don't have to. You don't have to believe me, and I keep telling everybody, don't believe me. You know, test it for yourself, and this is what it's going to take for you to wake up. C'est la vie. Such is life. Such is life. Now, when you look at the Internet of Nano of Things, and you read the other components, nanoparticles will give remote control of cells, tuning self-assembly of metal crystals to do whatever. Drug delivery to brain by using pulsing. If you sit there and think about that article alone, if they can pulse your brain and activate the technology to bypass the blood-brain barrier, what can they assemble inside your skull? Think about that for a minute. It's scarier than blazes. So again, I want you to broaden your horizons. But I also would suggest that you read what we have shared first, so at least you have some kind of base to make any decisions from, so you can determine which is what is bullshit. As being, because there's a lot of people giving a lot of testimonies how this is working, that's working, and some of you will follow it stupidly because you don't really know, because you don't take the time to read. So I'm trying to save you some grief. Now, if you don't want to listen, that again is your affair. You lighten my load. But please don't send me emails about your mythical, magical bullshit, taking your shungite and taking your black goo and taking your hydrogen and taking your Adia Clarity and your C60 and, you know, whatever, and the hydrogen and all the other bullshit, because you have been hooped. But you won't believe it until you feel the magnificent pain that you will feel. All right. As I say at the end of these shows, I always tell everybody, go read the Gospels, go read what Jesus had to say, you know, go read the letters, go read the book of Acts, go read the book of Revelations. This is the playbook. This is the playbook you need to follow, you know, and there you'll see some things that may enlighten you. Best way to put it. There are people up above on my page. They're all trying to do something in their own way. From their own perspective, there are a lot of them there that can help you, you know, if you listen. So I would suggest you can help them out as well. Help anybody on that list. Donate if you can. If you can't, don't worry about it. We do understand that a lot of you are not working, have lost your jobs over this World Economic Forum's policies, and so I know you need to make money to feed yourselves and take care of your families. I completely get it. So, I would encourage you to share the data with everybody. Share, share, share. It's important that you stay with your eyes open and don't allow yourself the luxury to be deluded. We are heading into our tumultuous times. You need to have your eyes open so you can see where you're going. And I also say at the end of these shows, you know, we are still here by the grace of God. So, to the next segment, to your health. Take care.